Hello, it is the wild card weekend in the NFL, and my name is Aiden.
And my name is Matthew. This is Pick Play Football Podcast. We are ready for the playoffs, and by we, I mean Aiden and his team and 11 other teams, but not my Dolphins. Don't worry, this is not going to become a Dolphins lament podcast.
Although it might.
Yeah, it might. Whatever. I am to the acceptance part of the stages of grief. I'm doing okay. Anyways, we are ready to go through the slate of NFL playoff games, and this wild card weekend is unlike any other because they are starting the new playoff format where a seventh team gets into the playoffs, only one team gets a bye. So that means we have, instead of just four games like we used to have, we actually have six games to go through, which is fantastic.
Extra football.
All right, but before we get into Wildcard Weekend, Aiden, give us a recap of how you and I did for week 17.
We both got 13 picks correct, which brings our totals for year to date. I have 165, and you have 166, so you're the regular season champion.
Yes.
By one pick.
One pick.
That's crazy. Crush picks, I got mine correct. I picked Cincinnati to crush. No, I picked Baltimore to crush Cincinnati. That did happen. 38-3 win for Baltimore. You picked Indy to crush Jacksonville. That did not happen. Indy did win that game 28-14. Tough toss-up games, I got mine incorrect. I picked Jacksonville and Indy to be a tough toss-up game. Didn't happen. 14-28. And you picked Miami and Buffalo to be a tough toss-up game, and that is about as far from a tough toss-up game as you can get.
I don't know what you're talking
about.
In the
NFL. 56-26 was the final score.
No, it was 56. It was 36-26, wasn't it?
No.
Did I black out after that 10-point lead?
Probably.
Oh, I guess. Yeah. Probably happened.
Although the Bills scored, the Dolphins had the last score of the game, so I don't know how you knew that they had 26.
For some reason, I blacked out after, the Bills scored 36. For some reason, nothing else counted after that.
Nothing else except for the Dolphins' points?
Yes, correct.
Okay.
That's reasonable, right?
No.
Oh.
The stat of the week is QB pressure rate by the defense with the ranking. And sacks.
So we're talking defense as we go into the playoffs, which is awesome because I think it's going to definitely be a factor in who wins. It's not going to be the Trent Dilfer 99 Ravens or anything like that where it was, pretty much a defense that won the championship. And that's probably not the right year that happened, but whatever. That's the year that I came up with just off the top of my head. So it's going to be good talking about playoffs. Now, I just thought about it as you were giving the recap. I did not kind of do the year-end crush picks and tough toss-up game stuff. So I'll have to get that. We'll get that ready for next week. We'll let everybody know how we did for the season, regular season ending of tough toss-up games. But I think, just off the top of my head, I think we both got five tough toss-up games picked correctly each. And I think you had three crush picks right, and I had one or something crazy like that. Anyways, I'll get those numbers and we'll get those to everybody next week.
Sounds good.
Yeah, so we're on to Wild Card Weekend. Why don't you get us kicked off?
Yep, starting on 1:00 on Saturday, which is tomorrow. We're recording this on Friday.
Yes, we are recording on Friday.
Yes, they start a day early this week. We have the Colts heading to Buffalo.
Yes. To take on your very streaking Buffalo Bills.
Yes. Indy, 22.9% pressure rate, ranked 15th in the NFL, 40 sacks for them. And Buffalo, 21% pressure rate, ranked 22nd in the NFL with 38 sacks. So the Bills aren't as good on the defensive front as the Colts, but I think everyone knew that already.
Yeah, oh yeah, definitely.
What's shocking to me is that the Colts are kind of low. They're at 15. That's not as high as I would expect them to be, considering how dominant their defense has posed to be this season.
Yeah, well, it's not all about getting pressure on the quarterback, too. Sometimes it's about stopping the run game and making a team one-dimensional, and I feel like that's kind of where they've gotten really good. That's kind of how they were good over the entire course of the season, I feel like. But yeah, I kind of expected when putting this statistic together I kind of expected them to do a lot better than they did, to be higher. I mean, maybe even they should probably be top 10, but, you know. But I'll also say that I was surprised that the Bills were this low. Now, I know that they were not nearly as dominant as last year, but they and they struggled mightily in the beginning part of the season. But I feel like how well they played late, I thought they would still be more middle of the pack than in the 20s. I thought they'd be like 15, 16, 17 area. But I guess that just kind of goes to show you how a good of a defense a lot of other teams had this year. I mean, it's kind of an interesting thing to see. And there's going to be other surprises, I feel like, when we that we'll talk about when we get to the other games. But for this game...
Well, hey, you said something very interesting in your analysis there. And that was, you said the Colts make teams one-dimensional by taking away the run game most of the time.
Is that what I said? Mm-hmm. Yes.
The Bills don't have a run game, so that's fine. we thrive on the pass game, and we pretty much only throw the ball. So
yes,
that makes me feel good.
Yes, and if memory serves me, I feel like Allen has done pretty well when pressured. Like he's pretty good when they come with a blitz or whatnot. But that's the other thing is that they don't blitz that often. They typically get there with their front four. But again, they're dealing with some injuries here late in the season. Where they're not as dominant as they were at the beginning part of the season. So we'll have to see if that pans out. What are you feeling about this game?
I'm feeling pretty confident. We know I'm low on the Colts, and I will remain so if they win this game. I don't think they're making it past Buffalo, though. I think Buffalo, this is a pretty safe win for the Bills, as long as they don't underprepare.
So... I'm feeling very much the same way. Like the Bills are playing lights out pretty much right now, and
they're playing way better football than the Colts.
Yes, and their defense is actually getting better and better every week. I mean, they're building as well, and to the point where this really isn't much of a contest. I don't think a lot of people expect the Colts to win this game. I think they might hang on early. Like, I think maybe early on in this game, it's close. By halftime, maybe it's only a 3-point lead or a 7-point lead, and then the Bills start to pull away. But the thing that I'm worried about is the exact thing that you mentioned, is
underpreparing.
Underpreparing, because, you know, the Bills don't have a lot of playoff experience, and what they do have was a disaster last year. I mean, last year they were one and done, and what they produced in the playoffs was just some of the most awful football that they produced all season long. So have they learned from that, or does that immaturity come back into play? Now, I think the coaching staff will have them well prepared. But, you know, I've seen footage of them, you know, like loose and dancing around at practice and everything. It's like, okay, that could be a good thing. That could be a really good thing, because that means they're not going to go into it too tight and let their emotions or the gravity of the moment control them. At the same time, you still need to make sure you're taking things seriously. So hopefully they're doing that. I think the only chance the Colts have is if Josh Allen reverts back to 2019 Josh Allen, and he tightens up. He throws interceptions. He fumbles the ball. He doesn't control his emotions and makes too many mistakes early that he can't overcome. I think that's about the only way they can win.
Well, look, what we saw last season in the playoffs out of Josh Allen, the immaturity and the lack of good decision making, we had kind of seen it through that year already. He wasn't necessarily looking like he was going to be anything great, and he didn't look like he was going to take that Bills team far into the playoffs at all. But this season is very different. He's corrected his footwork, his accuracy has improved tremendously, and I don't see any way he reverts back to himself. He's been playing his old self. He's been playing very consistently solid football all season, whereas last season was quite the opposite.
He did have a few in some of those losses. I feel like he got flustered with, like, wasn't it this?
He might have tried to force the ball to Diggs a couple times sometimes.
And didn't he also have moments of where, like, he was arguing, like, oh, they face masked me, or they blow to the head or something like that. I feel like in the losses that they've had, he's been flustered.
Well,
I'm just saying.
Well, that's because they did.
Well, yeah, but whatever. I mean, there was something he was complaining about that was a non-issue because of a tipped ball or something. I don't know. Anyways, we're not going to go there. We're not going to relitigate all that stuff. We're both picking the Bills, and we're moving on.
Yep, and our next game is the LA Rams heading to Seattle to play the Seahawks. The Rams, 22.3% pressure rate, ranked 19th in the NFL with 53 sacks, and Seattle, 23% pressure rate, ranked 14th in the NFL with 46 sacks. So these stats are very interesting, because the fact that Seattle has a higher pressure rate than the LA Rams, the Seahawks, we've been saying all season, they don't have a good defense.
Correct.
They don't.
Especially the front seven.
And the Rams have Aaron Donald and one of the best defenses in the NFL.
Correct.
Yet the Seahawks exceed them in the stat.
In the pressure rate, yes. In the sacks, no. They're getting to the quarterback, they're bringing him down more often than the Seahawks are, whereas the Seahawks are really probably just putting more pressure on. And I think the majority of that pressure is coming from the secondary via Jamal Adams. I mean, he has been a nightmare in as far as late in the season here. As he's gotten healthy and as he's gotten a good handle on the defensive scheme, they have unleashed him, and he has been a nightmare. Now, we don't know yet whether it's going to be Goff or Heinicke or whatever his name is. No, that's not. That's Washington. I forget the dude that played last week for the Rams.
I do, too, at the moment.
We're not sure which quarterback it's going to be.
That played for the Cardinals, but yeah. I can't remember. John Wolford.
Wolford, thank you. No matter who plays, they're going to have their work cut out for him, because going to Seattle to play Seattle, even though these teams, it seems like the Rams always have Seattle's number. Like, it's one of those scenarios that they always play them really tough, and I think they've beat them both times this year. No? Am I crazy?
I can neither confirm nor deny.
I'd have to look that up. But anyways, I just think this is going to be a very close game. I actually don't know who I'm going to pick yet. I think I'm going to have to listen to you talk. We're going to have to talk it through, and I'm going to have to figure it out. But this is going to be a good game, because the Seattle offense has not been playing well all season long. They've had ups and they've had downs. I don't feel like they've figured it out, and they're on their way back up. Like, they the past 2 weeks, they played a little bit better than they had the 3 weeks prior, but it's still not the dominant ball that they were playing at the beginning of the season. So I don't trust that they're going to be able to run away with this game. I think what I do trust is Russell Wilson over whichever quarterback is playing for the Rams, whether it be you know, Wolford or Goff. But I don't know. What do you think about this one?
I think you pretty much hit the nail on the head. I think this could be a really good game, and I would put the Seahawks on upset alert here. I am going to pick the Seahawks, though. I trust Russell Wilson more than I trust any Rams quarterback at the moment. But one thing's for sure, if they have a stinker on offense like they did against the Giants, for example, when they played them and took an L 17-12, they're going to be in massive trouble here, because the Rams are going to slaughter them if that happens. The Seahawks are going to need, if they put up 30 plus points, it's over. First of all, there's no chance the offense for the Rams is putting up 30 points.
Yeah.
I'm going to pick the Seahawks and Russell Wilson to get it done in the clutch. But I don't feel comfortable about this one.
So somewhere around weeks, you know, middle of the season, week 7, 8, 9, whatever it was, these two teams faced off in L.A. and the Rams won 23-16. And then back up 2 weeks ago, they played in Seattle and the Seahawks won 20-9. Now, if I remember right, I think that was the exact game that Goff got injured in. But that's the most recent taste that they have in their mouth. And, you know, again, this one's in Seattle, where I don't know if they're going to allow fans up in Washington or not, Washington State or not. Every team seemingly getting a little different treatment from their state, in this COVID time. Some states are allowing things to happen, and all of a sudden, like, the Bills are going to be able to have a crowd.
Hey, speaking of which.
Yes.
I saw a stat that said the away team has won more games this season than the home team. Fans matter.
Yeah, well, that's interesting. I mean, because this year has been unlike any other, where there's been no home field advantage because of how often stadiums are empty. So I do think this is going to matter for the Seahawks. And when it boils down to it, even if they're struggling, I just feel like there's that mode where Russell Wilson will kind of just do his own thing. Like, he'll go off script, he'll figure out a way to get a win, because that's he's just that good, and he's that advanced of a ball player. So I'm going to pick the Seahawks, but I agree they're on upset alert, and I don't feel comfortable in that or confident in that pick a lot. I do feel like it would not be a surprise at all if the Rams come away with a win, but I'm going to take the Seattle Seahawks at home.
All right, moving on to our next game. We have the Tampa Bay Buccaneers heading to Washington to play the football
team. We're not here to litigate whether or not just because you won the division you should get a home game. That's something that in the offseason we can talk about, and the NFL should seriously consider, because this is just heinous that the Washington football team is hosting a game just because they're the division winners.
I do understand winning the division and making the playoffs like that, but hosting a home game.
I think once they're set, you should, like, seeding should be by conference record only, or whatever tiebreakers they would have. But I feel like the seeding should be based on record and not just who won their division.
Yep.
Moving on.
Anyways, stats now. Tampa Bay, 27% pressure rate, ranked second in the NFL, 48 sacks. Washington, 25.4% pressure rate, ranked seventh in the NFL, and 47 sacks. So two very good front sevens. I'm pretty sure we knew that already, though. I mean, yeah, this is I don't know what to say. The Washington football team, they're only really good on defense. That's the only reason they make the playoffs, is because their defense is so stellar in a bad division. Their offense is not going to be able to keep pace with the Bucs.
No.
I like the Bucs here in a pretty safe game. You know what, though? This is a game where I feel like the Bucs, I feel pretty confident that the Bucs are going to win, but I really also think it's going to be close.
Yeah,
I don't think either team is putting up a lot of points in this game.
Well, and that's the thing, right? Everybody wants to talk about how good the Buccaneers are finally looking here in the last two games of the season, or last game of the season, really.
Look at the opponents,
and they have a lot of playoff experience. Of course, they have Tom Brady. They've got Antonio Brown. But Mike Evans, Godwin, those guys have never been to the playoffs. Gronk's never, has been, of course. But it's one of those things where they are not tested, tried and true, a better offense than all the defenses in the league. And they're going up against one of the, the best front sevens, defensively that they have to offer. So, I mean, they are no pushover. At ranked seventh in quarterback pressure, Tom Brady's probably going to be under pressure, so I think he might even turn over the ball once, maybe twice, and that's how Washington hangs around. But at the end of the day, they don't have enough offensive firepower to kind of overcome how good the Bucs defense is, and the Bucs defense can help win this game. I agree with you. I think the Bucs win, but I don't think it's a blowout by any means. I'm picking the Bucs, by the way, just to be clear.
Yeah.
I will say this: the last time a sub 500, so the Seahawks back in like 2010, I think it was, won their division at 7-9, and they actually won their playoff game. They were not one and done. They won their playoff game. So that has to be looming in Brady's and Arian, in Bruce Arian's minds, and making sure we can't let that happen. Like, we can't slip up here. We have to take this serious, and I think they'll do so.
Yep, we're both taking the Bucks, and now we're going to move on to our next game, which starts the Sunday games, by the way. We have the Ravens at the Titans in Tennessee. Baltimore, 24% pressure rate, ranked 11th in the NFL with 39 sacks, and Tennessee, 17.3% pressure rate, ranked 31st in the NFL with 19 sacks. That is bad. That is really bad.
Really bad.
31st in the NFL, and they're in the playoffs right now with the awful defense. That's insane. I think this is going to be the best game of the week for sure. The Ravens are more balanced than the Titans. I would say the Titans are heavily offense, and their defense is obviously abysmal. The Ravens are more balanced. They have a slightly above average offense and a probably about average, maybe slightly above average defense as well. This is a really tough game to pick.
Yeah, here's what it boils down to for me. If the Titans defense was playing as good as they were playing last year, I think I would maybe be willing to pick them. But the Ravens over these last four games of the season have been basically in must win mode. They had to win almost every single one of those. They had to win every single one of those games to get into the playoffs, and they did it. Sometimes looking good, sometimes not looking good, but by all means, offensively, they are allowing Lamar just to run all over the place because they feel like that's their best path to winning. Like him throwing the ball 60 times a game is not going to happen, but against this defense, you don't have to worry about that anyway. Like this defense of the Titans is not nearly as dominant as they were in years past. The only scenario by which I feel like the Titans really could actually throw a monkey wrench into this thing for the Ravens is because here's the other thing. The Ravens ousted the Titans last year, right?
Opposite.
I mean, you're right. Titans ousted the Ravens. Everybody expected the Ravens to probably get to the AFC Championship game, and they didn't even get past the first round because of the Titans. I think there's also that mentality of payback here for the Ravens, who are they are that type of emotional team, and John Harbaugh is that type of emotional leader. So you know he's using that to his advantage. And the only way I see the Titans being able to pull this out is if they really milk the clock with King Henry and they just run the ball, but they need him to actually fall down. Like, here's the problem. He gets into his like mode where he's a monster,
like Marshawn Lynch mode.
Yeah. And the next thing you know, he's like, he's ripping off like 25, 30 yard runs. They actually need him to just get 10 yards and go down so that they can milk the clock. Otherwise they're not going to milk the clock. Which it sounds stupid, but it's true. But I don't think at the end of the day that'll be enough to overcome. I don't think the Titans have any way of stopping the Ravens. And so it might be one of those situations where who has the ball last. And in that kind of scenario, my guess is the Ravens are probably going to pull out a win. That's who I'm going to take. I'm going to take the Ravens on the road.
Okay. We're going to differ here. I was originally going to take the Ravens. I was following the same thing as you, and then I thought about it for a second. I just sat there and thought about it. I stared into space and went into the void, and I came out with the conclusion.
Well, you think that much of me, huh? You were looking at me the entire time, so if that's what you're thinking of me, I'm space and a void? Yes. We'll talk about that off air.
When I came out of said void... I came to the conclusion that the Titans, I don't think they're going to throw the ball nearly as much as they did in the regular season. That's how they got a lot of their wins. They threw the ball, and they threw the ball, and they threw the ball, and they didn't stop throwing the ball. I think they're going to go back to Derrick Henry here. I don't think that they fully trust Ryan Tannehill and the passing game to get the job done and consistently score. And I think we could see Derrick Henry get the most carries of anyone in the playoffs ever this week. I could see him getting over 40 carries in this game.
Well, and here's the variable. If that's working,
then
and the Ravens feel like they need to try to do something to run stop, and they bring pressure, and then the next thing you know, play action pass, Tannehill's going deep, and he's going to be a nightmare. Because
right.
The interesting thing about this is they've got the 11th ranked pressure rate, right? The Ravens do.
They do.
On defense. Ryan Tannehill's QBR and passer rating is insane against pressure. Like it's almost like he welcomes it. He's better that way than he is when he has a clean pocket. It's one of the most weird things in the world, but that's just his comfort zone. When he has to make a play and he's about to get hit, he does it time after time after time. So that could be a recipe for disaster for them, you know, if they get both sides of that coin. If Henry can continue to, you know, run the rock, and then they start to bring pressure as a way to fix that, and then the next thing he's going deep to AJ Brown. But we'll have to see. So you're taking the Titans, I'm taking the Ravens.
I'm not done yet.
Oh, my bad.
On the other side of the ball, the defense, I think they can get a few stops. I don't think they're going to by any means dominate this game. I think both teams are scoring over 30 points, if I'm being honest, in this game. But I think that they can get enough stops to win this game, and that's because if you very carefully tailor a game plan for the Ravens, they are stoppable. They showed that like middle late of the season, they started to die off a little bit, and they started to run into a void. And when they came out of that void, it was their running game that actually spurred it. They had a 450 yards running last week or something insane like that. And, you know, J.K. Dobbins has been heating up. That running game has been very dangerous.
Lights out.
Very dangerous as of late. But if the Titans can just completely, like, neutralize Lamar, which I feel like is possible, they have Jadeveon Clowney, right? Jadeveon Clowney, he's not what he used to be.
No, he's not.
But he's still Jadeveon Clowney. He's still a good player.
I mean, if he can flip the switch and be anything close to the old Jadeveon Clowney,
then Lamar might be having a tough day.
They
in
might
the
have a tough game. That's what it's going to boil down to is basically run blitzes. They call plays that, you know, would blitz a run, basically? And if they can do that over and over, and their secondary can hold their own against
tight man coverage,
you know,
the recipe for success.
It is. It is indeed. So you're going with the Titans.
I'm going with the Titans.
I love it. Move on to the next one.
Our next game is the Chicago Bears heading to New Orleans to play the Saints. Chicago, 21.8% pressure rate, ranked 21st in the NFL with 35 sacks, and New Orleans, 25.6% pressure rate, ranked 5th in the NFL with 45 sacks. So I will say the Saints' defensive front has been very underrated this season. You see they're 5th in pressures, and they have a ton of sacks.
Meanwhile, we talked about the Bears' defense all season long and how they kept them in games and how they actually helped them win games. They've done it maybe more on the back end than they have anything else, because they don't get that pressure on the quarterback. And if you do not pressure Drew Brees, you're done.
You are done.
You are, like, he is going to pick you apart. So, personally, I think this is an easy game to call. I think it's one of the ones, at least ones I actually want to watch, because I don't feel like it's going to be much of a contest. Especially with Michael Thomas coming back, I'm sure he's not going to be, you know, fully healthy. He hasn't played a game in a very long time, but just getting him back is going to be like a, you know, he's like, you know, the whoopee blanket for Drew Brees. So, and Drew Brees is probably playing his last season, you know, and there's so much on the line. I don't think they're going to let a first round potential upset, you know, get in their way. I'm picking the Saints.
Especially a team that's literally 500, right, by the way.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, the Saints, they also are going to have Alvin Kamara back, it's looking like, for this matchup, which is going to be a nightmare in and of itself. Drew Brees is really good when you give him just a little bit of time.
Breaking news, Drew Brees is good.
Well, I mean, early in the season, it was breaking news.
That's true. That's fair. That's a good point. But I'll give that to you.
The Saints front seven, I want to go back to that because they drafted someone. I think his name is Trey Hendrickson out of the draft. He's a rookie this year. He's like, really good. Like, almost nobody knows who he is, I'm sure. But with Cameron Jordan on one end and him on the other, this front seven has been a nightmare this season, I will tell you that.
Yeah, they have been.
Yeah. I just don't think the Bears are going to get
you pulling out Hendrickson out of your butt. That's pretty awesome.
I don't think the Bears are going to get anything done on offense. I think this is my probably candidate for a blowout this week. But we're both picking the Saints and we're both feeling good about it.
Yes, we are.
Moving on, we have the last game of the wild card round at Sunday at 8:20 p.m. We have the Cleveland Browns heading to Pittsburgh to play the Steelers. A rematch of last week, just at a different venue. Cleveland, 20.6% pressure rate, ranked 26th in the NFL with 38 sacks, and Pittsburgh, 32.3% pressure rate, ranked 1st in the NFL with 56 sacks.
Yeah, so
the Steelers have a good front seven.
They have an excellent front seven, and that is even, you know, considering that the last half of the season they didn't have Bud Dupree in their linebacker. Mm-hmm. That's insane. And they got their stars, Cameron Hayward and TJ Watt got some rest last week against the Browns. The Browns barely beat the Steelers B team at home, which is kind of nuts, but their back's against the wall. And the Steelers are coming back with a little bit of rest and, you know, definitely are going to want to make sure that they don't falter here. Here's the thing that kind of blows
field.
This ketchup field. This blows my mind. 32.3% pressure rate, ranked first. Between first and second is 5 percentage points.
That's 1 in 20.
Because the Tampa Bay Bucks second are 27% pressure percent. Between 2 and 20 is 5 5% difference.
Yeah.
Like, that's an insane amount. They are by far the best front seven at getting pressure on the quarterback. And that is where Baker is at his worst. Like, honestly, he does not handle pressure that great. He can escape sometimes, and he can make some great plays.
Opposite of Ryan Tannehill.
But he gets in his head. He overthinks things. He misses checkdowns. I mean, he's getting better. He's growing at it, but he's not there yet.
Or he gets arrogant and tries to take a big shot down the field when he shouldn't.
And on the other side of the ball, you know, okay, the Browns are not awful. They're 26, but 38 sacks is nothing to sneeze at. But they are going to be missing Olivier Vernon. So he is one of their biggest producers on the defensive line. And I just don't think, without getting pressure on Ben, that they're going to be able to do anything. And they may not even need to put, you know, this game on Ben's back. I mean, James Conner might be able to run all over this, you know, Browns D. I think, you know, the Browns, sadly, and with all the COVID stuff going on, they're not going to have their head coach.
No, their special teams coordinator.
They're not going to have like four coaches on the sideline that they would normally have. This is not a good recipe. I mean, granted, I'm so grateful that the Browns have kind of bucked the trend and gotten into the playoffs after like a 14-year drought, but, or whatever it is. I don't know. It's probably longer than that. Whatever it is, it doesn't matter. This is a bad way to have to go in. I don't think they really have a shot in this game. I'm taking the Steelers hardcore. Right.
I'm also going to take the Steelers, but I do think this game could end up being close if the Browns run the ball. And when I say run, I mean run the ball and throw very few passes. I don't think they'll do that. But Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt have been a very dangerous running back tandem in the league this year. And if you can give them the ball and just keep giving them the ball and run the ball effectively, you might be able to get a few stops on defense, but you will, because the Steelers offense isn't that great.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point. They could, if they could like play the same game that we're saying the Titans play against the Ravens, right?
Right.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And I also will say, I don't know if I've said this before, but I think the Browns have the best offensive line in the NFL.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
I know you don't know about that, but Wyatt Teller, who's actually a former Bill, has been playing very well this year. Very well. They have Jack Conklin. Just those two alone on the tackles, that's insane, first of all.
Yeah, but even last week, I mean, you look at the Steelers' offensive line. They were without their starting. They had their backup starting center in there, and they were still looking good offensively. They've got a rookie, by the way, at left tackle. I forget his name off the top of my head. That is just lights out. I don't know what it is about the Steelers. They know how to draft linemen, offensive linemen,
linebackers.
Defensive linemen, linebackers, and wide receivers. They just know what they're doing, man.
They know how to draft wide receivers, but they're often not very good people. Antonio Brown, Juju Smith-Schuster.
Moving on. We're both picking the Steelers.
Yes.
All right.
And that concludes the game picks.
That concludes the game picks. We're going to try this week with six games. There's the potential that we could actually do some crush picks and tough toss-up games. So do you have any that stick out to you that you want to call out?
I would like to call out Bear Saints for my crush pick.
Okay. And I will go to your game. I'm going to pick Colts Bills as my crush pick.
I never pick my own team as a crush pick because it makes me paranoid.
I understand, but I can do it, right?
Yeah.
All right, what about tough toss-up games? I feel like this is a lot easier. Which one are you going to go with?
I'm going to go Bucks football team.
Nice.
Believe it or not.
I'm kind of shocked, but I'll go with it. I'm going to go Rams Seahawks with mine since you left that one to me. I didn't expect you to, but I'm glad you did. Because I could have chosen from the Ravens Titans too, but we'll see. All right, man. We've got a lot of picks in. We've got our crush picks and tough toss-up games. What else you got? Anything else?
Nope. Just gonna have a good playoff week.